Welcome, my lovelies. Welcome, one and all, to the Naked Football Show. I'm sorry if the sound quality isn't to your delectation. Only we're in a temporary studio at the moment because the other one's being decorated or some such nonsense. So, in the show today, we welcome back a guy who should have been on earlier, but he's so bad at answering his texts, Mr. Terry Holden. Hello, Terrence.
Good evening.
Good to have you back. If you want to get in touch, studio at icrf.m.com. And that'll do, actually, because we've got a few things to talk about. How's it been for you so far, Terry? Have you actually been on at all this
Not
season?
Not this season, no.
No?
Well, it's more entertaining this season, put it that way. And, which is good. I mean, I've quite enjoyed most of the games. There have been one or two dire ones, but generally speaking, it's more entertaining. I think we've seen 50% more goals than at stage last season. That includes the away teams as well.
I know, amazing, isn't it?
But which provides a bit of entertainment. And you can put up with not necessarily always winning and that sort of thing if you've been reasonably entertained.
Hmm.
And so we have, although, the longer it goes on without actually winning, getting promoted or whatever, I expect the novelty of even entertainment will wear off.
Hmm.
But so far, I've been reasonably happy. Especially going forward, we're actually scoring a few goals now. It's the defence is looking a bit fragile.
It's strange, isn't it? I mean, Mick joined, got the defence fairly well sorted. It was a bit dire, but he saved us pretty much from the odd fear of relegation we had to start with, didn't we? And he did well, steadied the ship. And then, of course, from then on, he's been... people have not been too happy with his approach, which has been ultra-cautious at all times, when we possibly didn't need to be ultra-cautious so much, and now we've gone the other way, haven't we, it seems?
Yes, it's difficult to say which is the, I was arguing that the results count. On the other hand, after last season, he couldn't argue that because the results didn't, his format and the way he played it didn't work. So this season, he's changed a bit. He's got the right players. I still think... Well, say overall we're a bit fragile. I think I think we'll finish roughly where we are now.
You think so?
Ninth or tenth. I don't think we've got the big enough or good enough squad to keep going for the.
You think? I've asked other people, and most people have said yes. Do you think that Mick was told to change his style and to get in attacking players, or do you think that was just the way he wanted to go anyway? Because it seems quite a drastic change, doesn't it?
It is. Well, again, it may be just a matter of who was available.
Yeah.
I mean, perhaps last summer, picking up Waghorn and Garner for whatever amount, a large amount.
No, it wasn't.
Were available. So, you went that way. Rather, I mean, he did nothing to replace the departure of Berra.
No.
Which is now coming back to haunt him.
Although one could argue he had Webster and Smith, both of whom were injured, to get injured.
Yes, I think Smith's a bit worried about him now. I think he's always picking up injuries now.
Yeah, but, that happens, doesn't it?
You've got Webster, who's a right-sided player, really.
Yeah.
So he's playing out of position, same as Tommy Smith kept playing out of position when Berra was there. And he didn't make any great efforts to cover Berra's departure. And I think that's coming back to haunt us a little.
Do you think this might be one of the things to look at in the window, if he gets any money, of course?
Yes. Well, he ought to be. Whether he's able to do anything about it is another matter. But he ought to be looking at that, because we're only one injury away. Webster gets injured again, or Chambers goes out injured. We're in stuck, really.
Mm.
So I would have thought so. And I still worry about the fullbacks.
While you're talking about that, I'll... so that people feel all included. What was it? We had an email or a tweet or something from... Oops, wrong thing. Carbon Fibre Blue. Interesting. I'm not sure how many players are out of contract. Oh, no, that's not the one. Alex, I still feel we need a decent right back. None of them do it for me. What are your thoughts?
Well,
right and left back?
Well, the left back. Both things. Teams get their crosses in far too easily, I think. We don't really sort of get tight on them, and then it causes chaos in the middle if somebody misses it and it comes back. Because Bart, however good Bart is as a shot stopper, he is not that good on crosses.
We've always said this about goalkeepers.
Well, it is increasingly all over now. It's not just us. I think when you see them on the telly now, goalkeepers seem to have lost the art of, or not coached to, or whatever, or encouraged even to come for balls now.
And then they're encouraged to punch rather than catch if they can. Yeah, we haven't had anything like that since Paul Cooper.
No.
He was only about 3 inches tall, but he could leap like the proverbial salmon.
Yeah. But I think it's worrying when he can get the crosses in and the goalkeeper is sort of rooted to his line.
Mm.
And if you get bullied.
Yeah. I have played in goal and I know a lot of people. I know if the Vulture's listening, he's part of the goalkeepers union. There's a few. It isn't the easiest thing to do. The easiest thing is the shot stopping. The hardest thing is knowing when to go and when not to go.
Because the shot stopping looks spectacular.
It does,
What a wonderful reflex save and all this sort of thing. But as you say, it's relatively easy compared with dealing with
that's
crosses.
Right. If you have an ability to fling yourself about and stop things like that, then you immediately get stuck in goal, and then you realise, hang on, this isn't as easy as I thought. Because you think, do I go for a cross? Do I stay? Do I pounce? Do I catch? Yeah, difficult. There you go. I'm just supporting everyone in the goalkeepers' union there. I might as well read Carbon Fibres Blue Out while I'm here. I'm not sure how many players are out of contract at the end of season, but the uncertainty over Mick McCarthy is surely not a good thing. Do you think a decision over his contract should be settled one way or another well beforehand? That's before the end of the season, I guess he means.
I don't think it really makes a great deal of difference to what happens over the course of this season. I don't think players... the players whose contracts run out, they're obviously... The club have got an option to say, right, thank you very much, off you go. The player may be thinking the same as well, all right, I'll go. Or on the other hand, he might be after getting a new contract. Now, the people who think they want to stay and get a new contract may in the back of their mind think, well, a different manager, and then if I say stay, and then they change the manager, and I might be, put on the back burner, he doesn't like me, the new manager, or whatever. But... if I was in one that position, then I wouldn't sign a new contract until I knew who the manager was.
Yeah,
so
the key thing is they've
got to come out right at the end of the season,
like
the day after the season finished, and say, right, thank you, Mick, you're on the way, or we're offering him... Because he's got the option, of course, they've got a two-year option on him, haven't they?
I believe so, although he keeps saying that he'll make his own decision, doesn't he?
Well, this is it. So, managers nowadays... Contracts don't mean anything in management.
No.
Don't mean much in football general nowadays.
No.
But he might. The complicated thing is if he ums and ahs.
Yeah.
But if he's made a decision in his own mind, the day after the end of the season, he should be announced. He's on his way or he's staying. Now a lot of people will complain if he's staying, but at least we know where we are, and the players know where they are.
Yeah, okay.
But what we don't want is dragging on as sort of, Mick's going off on holiday now and he'll come back in the beginning of June and, give us his decision sort of thing, that would be absolutely...
Well, it would.
A month of the transfer window.
But you might end up with the Chambers-type situation, and you could tell he was quite stressed out by the whole thing of not knowing. And then I think Skews is one of these out of contract, isn't he? So, hypothetically, if Skews... It's coming up to the last weeks of the season and he doesn't know whether McCarthy's going to be there. He might just say, well, I'm not going to sign, or he might be desperate to sign simply because you want your future settled before you leave, for the end of the season.
But the players can't do anything until they're out of contract at the end of June.
No, they can't.
I think the transfer deadline's been shortened. It couldn't be July the 31st, is it?
I don't know.
So they get it out of the way before the season started.
Yeah.
There was talk of that. Whether that's been agreed, I don't know. But I don't think it really makes much difference to the players. I don't know.
No.
I think in the back of their mind, they know already, those that are out of contract, have decided, well, if I'm offered, I'll stay. But if not, I'm not worried. I feel confident of going somewhere else.
Mm.
So I don't think they'll really affect them. It's probably more effective if we're in a relegation battle, which perhaps we won't be. Then you may think, well, I'm not going to bust a gut for this because I'm on my way at the end of the season. Mm. But if you were going in with a chance of getting the playoffs and sort of thing, then I would have thought it would make a difference because you know, and it may even enhance your chances of either getting a new contract or moving somewhere else at the nice little...
I do get the feeling, judging by the odd player that I have talked to occasionally, you just bump into, that they are fairly all behind McCarthy, so...
Yeah, I don't think there's any great internal
thing.
It's more external. The supporters are not particularly happy. I mean, he does... I don't know whether he does it deliberately sometimes. Supporters the wrong way.
Every show we have this, don't we? That, you know, I'm either unhappy or I'm happy, but the one thing that they all stick with is... why does he need to have a pop at the fans? You know, I can understand that. You know, if you're a manager, you're going to get stick and flack, especially after some
job.
Of the dire football. Yeah. But it comes with a job. He should accept that. What if, playing devil's advocate, if we were? I mean, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility we might get into the playoffs, and then of course it's a lottery. We might even go up. Then do you think Mick would say, well, I'm staying, you can't get rid of me now? and possibly, what do you think the management might say? Well, actually, Mick, you've done a good job getting us up, but we don't think you're the one to keep us up. So,
because then money comes into it from the owner's point of view, as whether he's now going to actually throw some money, having got it up, or whether he's after a quick sale now and get as much money back as he can. I don't know. I don't like these playoffs at all. I've never been for them, and I always think if you're going to go up, you've got to go up in the first two, because you lose a complete month of transfer time, because you can't do anything with your
players until
May the 25th or 26th or whenever the term is, and you don't know, and it may be after that you're still down in. And even you've got promoted, all this sort of what you might call bargain snips will have gone.
Yeah.
I'm not a great fan of the playoff. Never have been. I always think if you're going to play 46 games, then after 46 games, then I know it keeps the interest.
Especially when you win.
Well, when you win, I still think it's wrong. It's not as bad as the rugby system, which is absolutely crackers.
Oh yes, that is.
I mean, what was it? Saracens won it last year, but they didn't win it because they lost in the playoff final to Exeter.
Hmm.
So Exeter are a so-called champion. So over 22 games or whatever they play, they weren't. That's a bit like Man City being way ahead, should win the league this year, but having the playoff for the top four, and Chelsea or somebody beating them in a playoff thing and crowned champions. How can you be champions?
Why is it called the Champions League? When it used to just be the champions that were in it, the European Cup.
Any old... we've got five teams in it this year.
Absolutely. Right, got a text just come in. This is from Carl. Hello, Carl. I need to read this out because I do owe Carl something, which you can find out about later. Maybe a bit late to announce, mate, but just to let you know that Town fan and season ticket holder Kevin Painter plays his first round World Darts match against Mensur Suljovic on Monday night at approximately 8 o'clock. Be sure to have a couple of ciders. He drinks cider, does Carl? Bless him. Never mind, Carl. When your taste palate matures. Excellent. So there you go, Town fans. 8 o'clock on Monday. Kevin Painter, the artist, is playing on telly. And... we had some friends come over from Australia, and she was a big, big English darts fan for some bizarre reason. Yeah, bizarre. And we took her to football, and we said, have you heard of the artist? She said, oh, yeah, Kevin Painter, I know about him. Yeah. I said, well, he's a Town fan. Is he? And I tried to find him, because he stands in the North Stand, doesn't he? But he wasn't there that night, which was a shame. Yeah. Bless him. I knew roughly where he stood, and we couldn't find him, but she was all over the place with excitement.
Darts championship, there's so many of these blooming.
Yeah, you
it's
don't
a bit like the boxing teams. Yeah, they've got more absolutely. Than one, so you think, well, which, and they're on different TV channels and good as well.
That's right, they ought to.
One's before Christmas, one's after Christmas.
They ought to call them light heavyweight darts and welterweight. They should play by weight, actually. They'd all be heavyweight most of them, wouldn't they?
Well, some of them are a bit
more athletic nowadays.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Since, who was the Scotsman? I always remember the
Jockey Wilson.
That's it, Jockey Wilson.
Yeah.
Mick McManus. Right, this is from Slower Ball. Good evening, the boy Blackburn. Good evening, the boy Holden. Love the show. Thank you, Sir Paul. Finances, oh lordy. What does the panel think, that's you and the boy Tezza, that's you, Terry, by the way, about our financial situation? Do you want to stop there for a second?
Well, it's nothing new, is it? I mean, all right, it's now sort of 89 million owed to the owner instead of 86 million or something, isn't it? I mean, it creeps up this sort of little bit every year. There's nothing we can do about it. So I don't worry about it. I don't understand what the owner's philosophy is or tactic. I mean, he's working off a business plan which is 10 years out of date, as far as I can see, from when he took over. The whole football world has changed, particularly in the Championship, what it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But his sort of ideas or ambitions or plans don't seem to have changed. And he's sort of working to an out-of-date thing. When he first took over, you could probably get... Well, you're not guaranteed promotion if you spend money anyway, but there wasn't the money about in the Championship. But now there seems to be, Derby and all these people spending a fortune, despite the so-called financial fair play league. I mean, they still haven't sorted this QPR business.
From
they're going to appeal again or whatever it is or something.
They'll just carry on appealing, won't they?
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why they do away with the money thing and just say, right, you're deducted 20 points at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Be done with.
Yeah. No,
it's
absolutely
much better than all this claiming 30 million and which you're never going to get.
Yeah.
That's really how they work it, but...
I know. Anyway, I'll continue. How long have we got? We haven't got long. Should we be grateful that Marcus came in and basically saved us? He supported the club financially, albeit at lower levels than some clubs. Burdened with our increasing debt and using the operating model that sees us acquire bargain buys, freebies and non-league prospects. 10 years and counting. He's apparently in it for the long haul, whatever that means in the strange world of football. And he's promised money for the January window. Stick or twist? Last chance saloon for Mick? Will we add to our squad in January? Mick tends not to, but this might be his last hurrah. Rubbish result away at Bury. Reading on Saturday. I want us to win. Keep smiling. God bless. And R.I.P. Dick Parker. Yeah, absolutely. Dick Parker. Did you know Dick Parker?
I didn't know him, no.
I knew him to say hello to. Bless him. Yeah, thoughts to family and everyone. It means quite sad. Bless him. Yeah, he was a nice old boy. I didn't really know him very well, but just to say hello to. Do you think?
I mean, the owner... is living off the same way as the manager. The manager came in and saved us, so we should all be grateful.
Yeah,
but he's not sort of moved on.
No,
well, he did for a while, but he's gone backwards. And the owner had come in and saved the club, sort of thing. And he's sort of rested on his laurels in a way, and not progressed, not updated his business plan as far as I can see. But it would be easier to get rid of your manager than it would be the owner, because the owner's got to find somebody to pass it on to. And presumably, I mean, he won't recoup all these monies, but I mean...
Well, I imagine he'll probably...
But he'll want some monies back.
If he gets into the Premiership, it won't be too difficult, especially if he can stay there.
Yeah, it depends. It depends what you wish for, doesn't it? Because you get these obscure foreigners who come in, look at the fiasco at Leeds and all this sort of thing, and various other clubs that have had foreign owners.
Yeah, no, I was talking about if Marcus Evans got into the Premiership, he'd be able to recoup his money. Do you not think so?
I mean, probably it's difficult because he said we don't own the ground, which is a blessing in some way, in many ways, but not as far as. They want assets.
Yeah.
Well, the stands are the assets, but the ground is,
Of course.
Then. So, therefore, I don't think you would get as much money as you would probably be if you owned everything lock, stock, and barrel. So,
plus, you've got a major outlay on players then, haven't you, as well? And wages, rather, as well as buying players.
Yeah. I mean, the latest next TV round, well, they've already done one for the Championship, haven't they? And then we've got another one coming up soon for the Premiership, where they're going to show 200 games. There's only 380 in the whole season. So that's over half the game.
Oh, no.
I think they'll kill the Golden Goose at some stage.
Well, you're going to get lots of... Well, we're starting to get that empty, more and more empty stadiums anyway, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, it's... And you look at the listings, I mean, BT Sport have got the Europa League and Champions League and all this thing, and shown all manner of obscure leagues and this sort of thing. And I was thinking to myself, they never seem to release the audience figures for these. I think they occasionally crow when Sky get 1.5 million for Man United against Man City or something like that. Well, if it was on terrestrial television, the TV companies wouldn't look at it. It's like 1.5 million is not worth it.
No.
But of course, 1.5 million are paying out however much it is a month.
Yeah.
Even if they're not watching it.
It is. It's mind blowing. I didn't even know BT were doing Premiership games midweek, but I found one yesterday. We've got BT, we haven't got Sky. I'm just twiddling through the thingies
and we had
Huddersfield and Chelsea last night.
I didn't know this. Yeah. Well, I was out last night anyway.
Where were you, Terence?
In the pub.
In the pub? Which pub? I haven't seen you in my local lately.
No, I was in St Jude's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Right, what do we got? We got Reading coming up. What do you think?
Reading had a little bit. They've had a bad run, but they had a little bit of a revival recently. I think they've gone 3 games.
They drew with Cardiff on Tuesday, wasn't it?
Monday
or something.
Yeah. Could be an interesting game. Could be a few goals in it again. We win 3-2 or 2-2 draw or something like that. I don't worry myself too much about scoring goals with how much we concede nowadays.
Well, yeah, we look like scoring at home more.
As long as we don't do a repeat of the Sheffield Wednesday fiasco.
Oh, that was dire, wasn't it?
I mean, why do they... Well, I don't like any team doing it, at whatever level, and whether home or away. Just trying to waste time at the corner flag. We still got...
Well, we had 5 minutes to go as well.
Plus injury time, I think, as well. So, and we're not a good enough team to do that anyway. No. I mean, it's better than just... lose a ball out for a goal kick.
Yeah.
Because you can get back and reform, get in the position to defend.
In the
but
end.
When you lose it and they break away, everybody's strung out all over the park.
In the end, it was our own time we wasted, wasn't it? Because we didn't have time to come back once they'd scored.
No.
So, talking of people coming in during the window, what do you think the chances of Thingy coming back from Rotherham? I can think of that.
I shouldn't think they would.
I think I thought Mick was making noises about bringing him back, Kiefer Moore.
Well, he makes noises. I don't take much notice.
Makes lots of noises, doesn't he? But Tubby.
I would have thought, given that we've got the, a reasonably sort of set of so-called 4 goal scorers or four forwards sort of thing, I would have thought it was unlikely. Unless any of them, we get a bad set of injuries over the Christmas period, then he might say, "Oh, we're calling back." But I think they'll probably keep him to the end of let him have stay at the end of the season.
Do you think so? You don't think you'd bring him back as a sort of an impact sub?
I don't think he's well, unless he's improved tremendously at Rotherham.
Well, he must have improved a fair bit.
Well, yes, but you're at a lower level, aren't you? So I'm not convinced that I think he'll stay at Rotherham.
And what do you think? Some people think that Freddie Sears, for instance, should be at least sent out on loan. What are your thoughts on Freddie Sears? Well, he's a sort of a Marmite character. I actually like him, scoring goals.
I think he's suffering, and I'm a bit worried that he'll try and do the same to Waghorn, as they keep
pushing him
further wider out and having to cover back more and more.
Yeah.
In the early days, Sears was a goal scorer.
He was, yeah.
Now he's lost all the knack. What to do, score goals even. But he puts in a shift. He's running up and down, both covering for fullbacks.
Yeah,
which is another thing.
Work,
when you've got weak fullbacks, you have to cover even more, sort of thing. I feel sorry for him, in a way.
I believe he... I think Mick said he covers more ground than anyone, actually,
he
on the stats.
Does. Yeah, you can't complain about his effort. But he's just lost the knack of scoring goals because he's so rarely in the penalty area. When he gets there, he doesn't think he would do. And I'm a bit worried that if we're not careful, over a period of time, Waghorn will go the same way.
Yeah.
Although he's got sort of other skills with dead ball kicks and... Cool. We've actually got a decent corner taker at the moment.
We have. He's very aggressive as well, isn't he? Old
sort of hard and flat thing, which you only just get a nod off the
and it'll go
head
flying,
and it'll go
fly
in. Yeah. But would they send him out on loan? Well, it depends. I think if they brought Moore back, they might send him out on loan, but if they don't, they'll keep Sears. here, and Moore will stay at Rotherham.
Mm. Of course, going back to the Sheffield game, had Sears squared that ball to Salina, we wouldn't have had to worry about this in the corners.
No.
But then it's like he's so desperate to score a goal, isn't he? You could understand why he tried to beat the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But if he'd been on fire, he'd have probably just squared it.
Yeah, but he's just lost the knack, I think, and the confidence in front of the goal. You know, so he's more or less...
He's really trying too
content
hard.
..content to sort of keep out of the way, you know, and do all his energetic stuff.
Absolutely.
I like him, but I think he has been ruined by McCarthy, actually.
Absolutely. So, finally, as we're running out, or we're just about run out of time, do you think we'll make the playoffs?
No.
You don't?
No.
Mr. Terry has spoken. Thank you, Mr. Terry. Thank you, Terence. Okay. I only called him Mr. Terry because we have a guy who married a mate of mine married a Thai woman, so he's always been called Mr. Telly. Mr. Telly. Thank you, Terence.
Okay.
Till next week. Have a great one, everyone. Take care. Bye, bye, bye.